Good morning. Welcome to the regular meeting of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, La Hunt Region. My name is John Jardine. I'm from Martinville, and I'm your chairman. I want to thank members of the public for coming to our meeting. We do a better job when you participate in the issues that come before us. At this time, I would like to introduce other members of the regional board. Peter Pumphrey from Bishop, Keith Dias from Rosemont, Eric Sandell from Truckee. Unfortunately, Dr. Amy Horn won't be able to be with us today, but I'm sure she's doing okay. And Jack Clark, he may be with us a little bit later. Our executive officer, Patty Koyumjin, would you introduce staff?
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to introduce some of the staff that are here today. I'd like to start with Sue Jenner here to my left, who is the clerk of the board, and Lori Kemper, our assistant executive officer, and our three key division managers are here, Doug Smith, Mike Plaziak, and Chuck Curtis. Jan Zimmerman, Cindy Mitten is from our office as well. Alan Miller from Tahoe. And I'm not sure Scott Ferguson is still here. And Kim B. Meyer, to my right, is the counsel, and Richard Booth. Yes, thank you.
The regional board will be considering many items during this meeting. Although we must use our time wisely, we encourage your input on any item so that our decision will be based on all available information. If you wish to speak on any agenda item, please fill out an orange card. They're on the table across the way, indicating which item you wish to address and how many minutes you need. Although we do not administer an oath in most proceedings before this board, we expect all statements before this board to be truthful, with no attempts to mislead by false statements, deceptive presentation, or failure to include essential information. We also ask that you obey our ground rules, which are: treat everyone with respect. This includes board members, board staff, anyone who testifies, and your fellow citizens. This means no personal attacks and no violent, contemptuous, or disruptive behavior. In the interest of everyone's time, please communicate your ideas clearly and efficiently. So that we can develop an accurate administrative record, we ask that you speak only after you are recognized. At that time, please come to the lectern and speak to the agenda item. If you do not follow these rules or become repetitious, I may ask you to sit down. Any person aggrieved by any action or inaction of the regional board, including but not limited to the issuance, modification, or rejection of waste discharge requirements, administrative civil liability, or a cease and desist order, may petition the State Water Resources Control Board to review the decision. The State Board must receive the petition within 30 days of the Regional Board's meeting at which the action was taken. The Board staff will provide you with copies of the regulations about filing petitions if you request them. They are also available at the State Water Resources Control Board website. I'll move right now to item 10. Waste discharge requirements, Town of Apple Valley and Victor Valley, Wastewater Reclamation Authority, Apple Valley Subregional Reclamation Plant, San Bernardino County.
Good morning. I am Mike Cooney, Water Resources Control Engineer in the Victorville office. I have been with the Water Board for the past 7 years. I am presenting proposed orders for two new wastewater treatment facilities or plants and their associated percolation pond disposal site. Because the design of both plants is identical, this presentation covers both orders. The Victor Valley Wastewater Reclamation Authority, as the discharger, has provided wastewater treatment services for the Victor Valley community since 1981. The discharger's main plant, colored in blue, is located about 7 miles northwest of the downtown Victorville. The main plant has been expanded and upgraded a number of times since 1981. The main plant's average flow is 12 million gallons per day. For several years, the discharger has planned to install two sub-regional plants, one in Apple Valley and the other in Hesperia, to bring recycled water closer to potential users. The plant and percolation pond site for both plants are shown in pink on the drawing. And I may also point out that since coming here, I noticed that there are displays on the left and right sides of the room showing pictures of what the of where the facilities are going to be and what they will look like when they are constructed. Both plants will produce disinfected tertiary recycled water as defined in California water recycling criteria, commonly known as the Title 22 regulations. Membrane bioreactor technology, which is commonly referred to by the abbreviation MBR, is the selected treatment process. MBR technology combines secondary and tertiary treatment in a single unit. The MBR process includes aerobic basins to destroy biodegradable and organic matter, anoxic basins to reduce nitrate to nitrogen, and filter membranes to remove biosolids from the wastewater. The anoxic basins lower the overall total nitrogen in the discharge. Ultraviolet disinfection technology is selective to avoid the formation of soluble halogenated compounds generated by chlorine disinfection. The initial capacity of each plant is 1 million gallons per day. The facility is designed in a modular manner so that the plant is easily expandable to 4 MGD. Biosolids, or sludge, is not processed at the subregional plants. Biosolids are discharged to the community sewer system for processing at the main plant. The discharger completed an anti-degradation analysis to show that the proposed discharges meet the state's non-degradation policy, State Water Board Resolution 6816. The policy states that the selected treatment technology must result in the highest water quality consistent with the public interest. The two constituents of concern are TDS and total nitrogen. The discharger used a groundwater model to estimate the groundwater degradation within a mixing zone. TDS actually improves from the Apple Valley discharge because the existing groundwater quality is higher in TDS than the estimated discharge quality. Nitrate nitrogen increases from about 3 milligrams per liter to about 7 milligrams per liter at both plants, which is still below the drinking water standard of 10 milligrams per liter. It needs to be noted that these are the concentrations at the mixing zone boundary and do not represent delivered water from a downgradient supply well. The discharger considered adding reverse osmosis to the treatment process to achieve a quality at least equal to existing background quality. The discharger found that the reverse osmosis process nearly doubles the user rate for treatment and therefore is not consistent with the public interest principle of the state's non-degradation policy. Therefore, we are allowing some degradation while being protective of the receiving water beneficial users. Constituents considered as effluent limitations are biodegradable indicators, BLD and suspended solids, salts of TDS and nitrate, turbidity, and bacteria. The effluent limitations for BLD and suspended solids are the EPA secondary treatment standards. Use of these limitations assures destruction of organic and biodegradable matter. The method for developing monthly average and daily maximum limitations for total nitrogen is identical with the method used for the discharger's main plant's waste discharge department. Monthly and daily limitations are a product of a long-term discharge average concentration and a statistically based multiplier that represents discharge variability. The long-term total nitrogen concentration considered achievable with the proposed treatment process is 6 milligrams per liter. And the 6 milligrams per liter is your base. We use a multiplier to come up with the average monthly limitation of 9.3 milligrams per liter and then the maximum daily of 12.1 milligrams per liter. For the average monthly, it's a statistical multiplier and the value is 1.55, just for reference. The effluent limitations for recycled water are from the Title 22 recycled water criteria. They apply only during periods when the treated wastewater is delivered for recycled water use. Water Board staff has not specified an effluent limitation for TDS because these are new plants with unknown influent TDS. TDS will be regulated in these orders as receiving water limitations. Victor Valley Wastewater Reclamation Authority will operate both plants. However, the town of Apple Valley owns both the subregional pond site and the percolation pond site. Two, the city of Hesperia owns portions of the subregional pond site and the percolation pond site. Water Board's practice is to name landowners as a discharger in orders. Therefore, the town and city are named co-dischargers in the respective orders. In the event either the town or the city transfers all land to the Victor Valley Water Reclamation Authority, Water Board staff will present amended orders to remove them as co-dischargers. The California Department of Public Health commented that the proposed percolation ponds are a groundwater replenishment reuse project. However, the percolation ponds are for discharge of incidental water produced in excess of recycled water needs. The effluent and receiving water limitations in this order are protective of the receiving water. A late revision is needed to correct the reporting frequency for the self-monitoring report. The recommendation is to adopt both orders as proposed with incorporation of the late revision. This concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the board members?
I have a simple question. Where is the mixing zone boundary? How far from the injection point?
Well, it's right at the percolation pond.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, and it's actually a column, or a cylinder, that is a mile in mile. I think it's a mile radius, and no, a half mile radius from the center of the percolation pond, a half mile radius, and then down 50 feet into the aquifer, the most upper aquifer.
But the numbers are not at the edge of that half mile, but at the center of it.
No, the results are at the edge. At yes.
So half a mile out.
Out from the edge. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions from board members?
Mike, on your prior slide issues, I noticed that you made a specific distinction between a groundwater replenishment reuse project and what we're calling incidental percolation?
Yes.
What is the significance of making this distinction?
The Puerto Colón Act says that the California Department of Health drinking water program is supposed to come out with regulations for groundwater replenishment reuse projects by the end of this year, December 31st, 2013. A groundwater replenishment project would entail where you're purposely applying the water to actually recharge the basin. This is not one of those projects. This is just for whenever there's water in excess of the recycled water use, that's where the water goes. It's a trickle compared to a normal reuse project.
If I could just add on to what Mike was saying also, Mike Plasiak, supervising geologist for the Victorville office, the Department of Public Health is looking at initially the tentative orders that went out months ago were looking at potentially that this percolation constituted a groundwater reuse and replenishment project. Since then, and that's where to the issue, we've got their comments. They had some concerns about effect of the percolation on drinking water sources, travel times, things of that nature. Since that time, the BVWRA or the discharger has provided the information that they were looking for, and I've had contact with CDPH, and they are satisfied with the information they have, and they're no longer considering this a project or groundwater reuse replenishment project. So that took that issue away.
That's good.
Thank you.
No further questions. I have two speaker cards here. I would first ask for Logan Olds.
Good morning, members of the board. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. It's a little hard to contain myself here because I'm really excited to be before you today, unlike past times when you've been imposing penalties on my agency. Today's a really landmark day for us to be here. The only analogy I can think of is I feel like a 10-year-old at Christmas morning. I'm waiting for you to give me a present, and those presents are, of course, the WDRs. This story goes back a long time, well before me. The first report that was given to my board regarding the concept of building sub-regional facilities was in June of 1992. So we're talking over 20 years that my agency has attempted to move these projects forward. So today is really an important milestone. In the last 5 or 6 years, with the help of the former executive officer, Mr. Harold Singer, We completed the cumulative impact analysis, Mojave River characterization study, multiple degradation analyses, both on surface and groundwaters, all with the idea of leading to this point so that we had a clear idea of what our facilities would, what the impact would be to the local watershed, to local groundwater. So we have spent enormous sums of money just in doing the feasibility analyses and the studies, so that the information that you have, you can be confident in. Just since 2006, we've now spent over $4.8 million in cash in getting to this point. So, again, this is not something that we're taking very lightly. We've received $2 million in Title 16 grant funding through the Bureau of Reclamation. We currently have another grant application to receive the final $3 million. That was actually $5 million that was allocated to us as part of the Mojave Water Association, Mojave Water Agency appropriation. So we're partnering with Mojave Water Agency in this project as it relates to the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan. And we're also going to be moving forward with the Proposition 84 grant application, which you all will have the opportunity to take a look at. To that end, for the Mojave Water Agency, we were voted the number one project in our area. So, again, we're very excited that we feel like the timing is now. And, of course, for those of you that pay attention to the bidding climate in the construction industry, now is a very good time to build projects. Our last project came in roughly one-third under what its engineer's estimate was. We need these facilities to ensure that there's sufficient capacity, not only for the existing users, but for future growth. If you'll recall, when I stood before you a few months ago and we were addressing the fines and penalties, over $500,000 of those fines and penalties were associated with two spills on I Avenue. This Hesperia Water Reclamation Plant should ensure that those types of issues, I won't say will never occur again, but will hopefully not ever occur again. These facilities will provide local reuse, again, so we don't have to import more water. It's also important to understand that every time we import water, that's an increase typically in the consumption of energy. Significant amounts of energy are used in California to move water around. When we're just, if we can reuse this water, we'll decrease fossil fuel use and decrease greenhouse gas emissions. And we're very excited. We're looking forward to bidding this project in March of this year. So we have the permit. The design is done this month. We've received notice that our preliminary funding commitment letter should be also received in March from the Division of Financial Assistance from the State Water Resources Control Board. So things are happening. Today, the board has the opportunity to take action that will protect and enhance the water supply in the Victor Valley for many decades and for many generations to come. Today, the board has the opportunity to help secure the economic future of the high desert by providing a reliable water supply that can be depended upon, irregardless of whether there's drought conditions or not. People, I always like to tell my students, during the recession, did you stop flushing your toilet? They didn't. If you have any questions for us, I brought the entire team, because this is not one person's project, but it's all of our projects, so we have the full gamut here. If you have questions related to operations, finance, the environmental, the groundwater monitoring, the permitting process, legal, we're all here, and we'd like nothing more than to make sure that you have no issues whatsoever with voting yes on items 10 and 11.
Board members, any questions? Yes, sir.
Logan, if I understood the design correctly, the two sub-regional plants will remove biosolids, but then turn around and put them right back in the wastewater system to be treated downstream. Is that correct?
Correct. These facilities are designed as scalping plants. So what we actually want is the water. As part of the membrane bioreactor process, you still have a mixed liquor. It's a more concentrated mixed liquor than you do in a conventional activated sludge, but it does produce solids as a result. So the intention is that we have plenty of capacity, and if you're familiar with our goal to be energy independent in the next couple of years at the treatment plant, we need the solids to continue to come to the facility where we've already invested in the infrastructure to process it, to handle it, to generate the methane gas that will then generate electricity for our plant.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one more speaker card. Lance Eckhart.
Good morning. Lance Eckhart with Mojave Water Agency. I think Logan already kind of pointed out our partnership with Mojave and the Technical Advisory Committee that with our Integrated Regional Water Management Plan. But I want to make sure that the board knows that for about the last decade, the sub-regional plants have been a high-priority project, and our Integrated Regional Water Management Plan has been fully endorsed by our Technical Advisory Committee, which is made up of local stakeholders, big and small, across the valley. Recently, in the last few weeks, couple months, the TAC has voted unanimously to support the sub-regional plants as our only and best project for Round 2 Prop 84 implementation grant funding. So this is pretty important to us. Applications are due in March. We're already drafting them up. The Technical Advisory Committee and the agency are very, very motivated on getting this project to move forward, and the stakes are fairly high with this latest round of funding. So at this point, I'd just like to make the board aware that the Mojave Water Agency, and speaking for the Technical Advisory Committee, fully support and endorse this project and would like to see it move forward, hopefully, one more step this morning. Thank you.
Questions from board members? Thank you. The proposed action, let me see, for item 10 is to consider adopting new waste discharge requirements for a new ternary treatment plant.
I'll make a motion we approve the waste discharge requirements with the late revisions.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion.
Do you want to do that for both at the same time?
Yeah. I'll modify the motion to include both tertiary treatment plants.
Second.
So we're discussing both item 10 and 11.
Yep.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimous. Thank you.
Good idea. Yeah, good idea. Yeah.